Welcome in to another edition of the Tapping and Keg Podcast, episode 540s. I don't know the actual number. I was going to research that, Mitch. I let the tappers down. I don't have it on me, but I am very excited for today's show. We're going to talk Packers free agency fact or fiction. Going to hit Mitch with a lot of takes, and we'll discuss. Also, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. Are we worried about the pace? And look forward to the rest of the week. And then also talk about if parity is dead in sports. A very fun conversation. And something that I don't think people are talking about yet. I think people will talk about it as we move on this year. Little ahead of the curve, Mitchie. That's what we do. How you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Doing well. Everything's good throughout the week here. It's been a kind of a exciting week with everything that's going on and we're going to get into here. Yep. You know, Bucks were ass on the road trip, which is to be expected at this point, but obviously the Packers did many things in free agency. I don't know. I feel like it's been a few years since we're this
right.
active.
Right.
And so, you know, you get the sense that Goody is, you know, was pleased with last season, as he should have been, and has decided to go pretty damn close to all in.
Yeah. I mean,
and that can always be exciting, I think. I think it's right. Fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't part of my fact or fiction list, but I think the expectations were already ramped up prior to the free agent decisions. I think that everybody was hyped up for next year. I think that it's going to be harder to get tickets to Lambeau. I don't think it's going to be easy to, you know, there's not going to be a lot of opposing teams that are just going to infiltrate Lambeau Field. There still will be some, right? Because it's Lambeau and that happens. But I think now it's kind of even ratcheted up, and now it's like, okay, and this is kind of a real thing. And I was curious to see what Brian Gutekunst would do with an off season where he didn't have to worry about Aaron Rodgers. He had a pretty loose cap and could just kind of let his nuts hang. And that's kind of exactly what he's done so far. And I don't know if he's done. Packers could still make some moves. Still could, you know, they still have to fill a need at a few positions, which we'll talk about. But yeah, it's been a good free agency. And I don't think too, like on top of that, I don't really think there's been a ton of moves in the NFC where I'm like, God damn, they got that guy. And I'm like, I'm nervous about it. Maybe the only guy is the Carlton Davis, who went to the Lions, cornerback, who's pretty good, but he gets hurt a lot. That was the only guy that maybe I was a little like, oh shit. They got a pretty solid corner, which the Lions that kind of needed.
Yeah, their defense was, you know, not certainly the weak link of their team for sure.
Right,
and we'll see. That's going to probably be at this point the Packers' biggest competition.
Oh yeah,
depending on what the Vikings probably do, but I don't see the Vikings as a huge threat. Right, immediately next year. I know you're afraid of them getting Jaden Daniels, but to expect, you know, Jaden Daniels to be a fucking all-pro quarterback or something in year one, I think is a little aggressive. So I don't know. Packers are certainly clear favorites in the NFC North.
Yeah, and I mean, we're going to talk about Aaron Jones here in a second. And I mean, I think with the Vikings in general, I was talking to a guy who's a Vikings fan, shout out Nathan. And he was saying how, like, they've really done a bad job with in terms of drafting. Like, Kwesi, their GM, is pretty good at, like, signing guys, getting guys to the team, but he's not – the draft and develop has not been his strong suit so far. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, there really isn't that – one or two young Viking players that strike the fear of God in my eyes. Like Justin Jefferson strikes the fear of God in everybody, right? We all worry about him. But after that, it's quite the drop off. They don't have that, like, mean defender. Addison. Yeah, Addison maybe a little bit, but it's but they don't have, you know, they always had that couple nasty guys on defense, and like Harrison Smith, for example, in his prime. Like, and you just don't worry about those dudes anymore. You don't have those dudes to worry about anymore. So I thought that was
Yeah.
interesting that the Vikings are in this weird no man's land, and it's like, do you really want to, you know, trade Justin Jefferson to go up to like number four or something, or number three, and maybe trade with the Patriots and get that quarterback? Or do you trade up slightly to get JJ McCarthy, or wait till the second round? It'll be very interesting. I'm sure we'll talk a lot about the Vikings and the Bears when it comes to drafting quarterbacks, come April and into the draft season. But
Sure.
let's pivot to the fact or fiction part of the show. In terms of just, you know, I'm gonna fire a bunch of things at you. I wouldn't say that I believe all of them, but things that I thought about that maybe the common Packer fan might have. I did not have listed Ladd McConkey as the next Jordy Nelson. I will save that again for our draft shows. He's not, by the way. They're totally two totally different players, but
I
you
was gonna
know
say,
that.
Lad's more, isn't he more of like a slot guy?
Oh yeah. He's more a Cooper Kupp type, if we're gonna go white guy
Yeah.
comparison. So yeah. Anyways, you're not gonna see that on here, but I'll start speaking of offense and fact or fiction that the Packers rushing attack will be better this year.
Well, I mean, I would probably say fact at this point, because. So Josh Jacobs is, you know, that was first of all a stunner of
Oh yeah.
a move, and you know everybody held their breath with the numbers
Yep.
and 4 year 48 million, but and you see that and you're like, oh man, but then of course it's only really 1 year guaranteed with I think it's what is it a team
Three,
control essentially all the way through.
three team options, the rest of the way.
Which is amazing.
Right.
And you know, I think anytime, so I mean 12 for a running back, 12 and a half for a running back, kind of high probably for, but it's only 1 year. It's essentially I don't know, I guess it's a prove it deal in a way, but
Yeah.
because okay,
Go ahead.
go ahead.
No, you go.
I would say because Josh Jacobs did take a little bit of a step back from 2022, in 2023. In 2022, though, I mean, he won my
Oh yeah.
fantasy league for me,
Yeah, he was, I mean, he
and he
was a
was
stud.
he led the league in rushing. He was awesome, and I think the Raiders were such a mess last year that you know, I've seen some clips and stuff of their offensive line just being a dumpster fire, and I think he's going to be walking into a situation that's a little more. I guess positive
Oh
or
yeah.
a little more solidified up front. We'll see you know how Rashid Walker does in his second year now that he's been kind of anointed the left tackle. But for the most part, I like the interior of the Packers offensive line over the Raiders. And you know, as much as we all love Aaron Jones and you know, we hate to see him go and you know, we'll touch on him a little bit more here,
Yep.
but you know, he at this point, could you really trust Aaron Jones to be?
No.
He missed what a handful of games last year,
Six.
six. That sounds right. Okay, six.
Yeah,
And
five or six. The
I
media,
don't know.
a lot of the big J's have kind of just forgot about that and just are kind of just like excusing that fact because he's a great guy. And like, I get it. He's a great dude. But Josh Jacobs also, it was seen as a leader. It was a had a captain, had a C on his jersey. I think there was a radio personality in Vegas who basically said Jacobs was the guy that kind of kept it all together. That when just shit was going sideways, it was kind of Jacobs that kept the ship going. So I admire that, and I think that that's a guy that can make an impact and show leadership. And yeah, it won't be Aaron Jones. I think Jacobs, unfortunately, will be held to a higher standard by Pinhead Packer fans than the team in the locker room will hold him to, because they expect him to be like basically Aaron Jones reincarnated, or a better version of Aaron Jones. And it's just ridiculous. It's just a ridiculous comparison. It's not a true
Yeah.
comparison, in my opinion.
It's two different players. I mean,
Right.
Josh Jacobs is a horse and bigger guy and is probably more of a natural like number one lead running back, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which is, why I said it would have been a hell of a 1-2 punch with Aaron
Oh, yeah.
Jones, I think then people would have really been afraid of the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I do think all these years Aaron Jones has probably been more of a 1B kind of masquerading as a 1A running back. And you've seen it at times throughout his run as a Packer where we were frustrated because it's like, give Aaron Jones the ball more. And it seemed like they were kind of, holding the reins a little bit on him and just sort of easing him through the season because he's, a little more fragile, smaller guy.
Yep.
Obviously very productive at times. And again, a leader and a good dude. But, for virtually the same money it would have been for Aaron Jones, you got a dude who we hope will, be out there week in and week out and, as a threat to, go absolutely nuclear at any
Oh,
time.
yeah. Yeah, and a guy that also you want to carry the ball 20 times, you want to carry the ball 25 times. I wonder what will change with how Matt LaFleur calls the game, right? And to your point about give Aaron Jones the ball, give Aaron Jones the ball. Well, now Matt LaFleur can give Josh Jacobs the ball anywhere from 15 to 25 times and feel comfortable and not worry that the guy's going to break down. He hasn't missed a lot of time with injury. And yeah, he's going to beat you up, and especially when it gets cold. Now, he hasn't really been a cold weather running back. You could argue that's a concern, but I think those guys adapt to things, and I think Jacobs will like the fact that, oh yeah, these guys kind of fall off me in the cold because they don't want to tackle me because I'm just a brick shit house.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
well, oh God.
I'm saying he's just you're right. He should be an animal,
Oh yeah.
and I guess that you're right there. He's been in Vegas for his whole career, all 5 years, and actually Oakland for a year,
Yeah, he was
looks
in
like.
Oakland, so little marine layer, so maybe a little bit of cold, but nothing like Lambeau.
No,
Nothing
no.
like Green Bay and everything
But
like that.
I do think he's kind of built for it.
Oh yeah.
Just
No,
looking
I
at
agree with
his
you.
body type and yeah, I mean it's again, I don't see a real downside to this move at this point. And if he fits the timeline for where the Packers are, with Love a little better than Jones too, because Jones
Oh yeah.
was, about to be 30, and Josh Jacobs he's 26, he turns 27 after the season, basically. So,
Yeah, and then the last thought on it is just, I think they are gonna get a running back in the draft, and as pointed out by a few people, like the guys that are around that third to fifth round are all shifty, smaller backs like a Marshawn Lloyd, a Blake Corum, a Trey Benson. And so it's like those guys, like that wouldn't have made sense with Aaron Jones. And you knew you were replacing AJ Dillon. So they went out and got it back. And it shouldn't be a surprise. I don't know why people were so shocked when they were looking at Jonathan Taylor last year. And that obviously, that rumor had way more legs on it than maybe you or I or anyone else knew. So.
yeah. I mean, yeah, that's that. And I thought that would have been a good move at the time too.
Right.
But it didn't end up happening. And I think you got a very serviceable option here. I mean,
Yeah.
very similar players. So,
Yeah, you also told me, I think it was just in texting, but you were like on the Saquon to the Packers, and you're like, I actually think it'd be better than Aaron Jones, and you were on that, my friend. And I guess the second one that we had for fact or fiction, when we kind of, I think, have already touched on it, so we won't spend too much time on it. Packers will not regret letting go of Aaron Jones, and I think that's a fact. Like I I think he's an older running back, and the Packers saw the writing on the wall, and they were like, hey, look, this guy is getting to that age where running backs start to tail off. We know he's not durable. We'll give him a contract to bring him back. My theory I had before the news broke on, was that Tuesday's pod, was I just wonder like how much the end of the year affected everything, where like he didn't have that great of a year until that final push, right? That final five games. You're like, well, that's the most important. And while that's true, like the Packers could have won some more games had Jones been healthy. And so I think that Jones' value inflated in his head and Rosenhaus's head because of that strong finish. When the Packers were like, no, the value is the value. Just because you had an awesome stretch, that doesn't change our opinion on your durability and where we think your career is kind of going.
Yeah. I guess I would agree with all that, but for the sake of argument, I'll say
Sure.
fiction and just we'll see what happens with I don't think the locker room clubhouse is gonna completely fall apart, but there's no question that there was probably no better vibes guy than Aaron Jones.
Very true.
If I'm trying to think what other, who would be left that could possibly take that spot.
It's, I mean, Jordan Love at some
Like,
point, Jordan Love, Jaden Reed is still is 2 years in, but
I think Jordan Love's a little bit too stiff.
yeah, that's fine. Kenny Clark, too
I
quiet.
mean, if Jair Alexander wanted to fucking get his
Yes.
head out of his ass, I mean
Yeah, that's the
that
obvious
would be
answer.
one guy that I would think that comes to mind in terms of, if he wants to screw his head on. I think he's, more than capable of being a vibes guy, and also like a good player.
Yep.
So that helps too. You gotta have a certain level of talent to, carry a big stick in that locker room, if you will.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So they're gonna miss that. There's no doubt. And yes, we're gonna have to deal with Packer fans and the like. And NFL media possibly too.
Yeah, Pete Prisco was a little tough
With
on.
with people.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say with just with people criticizing, kind of. It's going to be like when the Bucks got rid of Malcolm Brogdon a little bit,
Oh yeah.
or it's
Yeah.
just, and to some extent, Jrue Holiday,
Yeah. Right.
where some people just won't be able to get over it for half a season, and it's going to be the angle, it's going to be the slant to go after the Packers, and they made a mistake, but I think in the end, it was probably the right move.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I totally co-sign. All right, next one. As we continue on, the Packers are a top three NFC contender for the Super Bowl.
I think it's fact. If everything goes, I think it was a very impressive season from Jordan Love. You now have a workhorse running back. The receivers should all have another year under their belt and get better. It's a young group, but I don't see any reason why that can't take another step. Offensive line is going to be, I guess. You don't have Bakhtiari anymore, and I know he hasn't played much in the last couple of years, but I got to think he's had some impact on the success of some of the younger guys. And
Yep.
he's no longer in the picture. We'll see where he ends up, but the offensive line I don't think is a huge concern at this point. As long as
Yeah.
everybody's healthy,
Yep.
it is on the younger side, but the Packers in general are young. Then I think defensively, we haven't touched much on them yet, but
We're going. We'll be there. We're getting there. But
we,
yeah.
I tend to like where they're at too. So I mean, I don't know who else in the NFC at this point. I mean, there's, you've got Phillies, I know, in limbo. Everybody's kind of down on
Yep.
them. I don't buy that so much. I think they're going to be just fine.
San
Detroit
Francisco.
is San Francisco, of course. But I like the Packers more than Detroit.
I do too.
Right now, I would just I feel like it's more trustworthy.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of a wager, I mean the Packers right now are 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. So not just the NFC, the Super Bowl. And that they have lower odds than the Cowboys, who are at 13-1. And I think the Eagles also have better or have worse odds than the Packers. That seems a little, and the Eagles one's not close, like 16-1 or like 10-1. And like that's kind of crazy to me that those aren't all bunched together. Because I think that's the debate for that second or third team is the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Packers, and that's kind of it. And maybe the Lions. Like, yeah, I agree with your summarize of the list.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna buy into the Rams, right? Because it's like you gotta trust Stafford's health, and they still lack the depth because they didn't draft for like 2 years. You have the Falcons who get Kirk Cousins, but it's like, I don't know, man. Like, you're asking a lot from a new coach and Raheem Morris, and is like Kirk Cousins off an Achilles injury. I'm not buying that entirely. The Buccaneers running it back, I think, is a mistake, actually. So yeah, the bottom falls out kind of quick. And so yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm
Well,
right there.
and the Cowboys came to mind before when I was thinking about it, and they haven't done anything
No.
to be better, which is hilarious because Jerry Jones talked about going all in, and obviously he's not getting any younger. And then here's Dallas out in the cold.
Well,
But yeah, they're 13-1 to win it all.
they did add Eric Kendricks this evening. He changed his mind from went to the from the 49ers to the Cowboys. And I guess
Oh,
some
wow.
Cowboys fan was like, I'm going to do crystal meth if the Cowboys don't make a move in 60 minutes. And Ian Rappaport tweeted that. It was like a close one. So that's wild when you're throwing
I
out.
did see that, but I didn't realize that's what that was for. Wow.
And but no, like, yeah, but part of it also is, and they were talking about this on Bill Simmons' podcast, that they have to pay Dak Prescott, and he's owed like, and he can't be tagged part of his contract. He can't get the franchise tag, so they have to pay him, and they would have to probably give him like $55 million a year, and that's due this year. So because you probably don't want Dak playing on the last year of his deal, and so that's probably why they haven't made a lot of moves, because they have to just pay Dak, and it's going to be absurd, and we're all going to lose our mind. But yeah, it's the Cowboys are in a unique spot with the Dak contract, with getting rid of Tony Pollard, and then not making like a run at Aaron Jones. Like, I know we went off Aaron Jones, but like, I thought if Aaron Jones was smart, you go to Dallas or go to Houston. Like, I felt like those were the two
Yeah, for
places
sure.
that made the most sense. You're also back in Texas. You have the controlled environment. You have a young team in Houston that'd be pretty similar to what you have in Green Bay. I don't know. But what do I know? Wants to play for East Dakota. That's on him. So anyways,
Yeah,
yeah,
that's too bad.
that's what happens. Greg Jennings, Desmond Bishop, Brett Favre, who else?
Zadavion.
So yeah. Oh yeah. Zadarius
Or
Smith was,
Zadarius, my bad.
no, that's all right.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I just saw Jadeveon Clowney. That's
That's
probably
all right. That's all right. All right. So defensively, Xavier McKinney will reshape the Packers defense. I'm gonna go could be fact. I'm gonna cheat on this because we don't know what Jeff Hafley's defense is. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it could be Jeff Hafley's system. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm very excited for Xavier McKinney. It's the first time in a very long time that Green Bay went out and got their top target. I can't really remember a time where the Packers actually got the top target of a position of need.
I mean, yeah, he probably
Maybe since Reggie
was,
White, like,
yeah, I
crazy
mean,
enough. I mean, and I could compare it to, I'm not at all, but like it, that, I don't know. Chuck Woodson, maybe Charles Woodson, possibly. I don't know.
but
It's crazy.
Woodson was also, obviously that your mind goes there quick, but like Woodson, if I remember correctly, was a pretty late signing. I mean, it was like kind of, it wasn't day one. We're going
No,
to game
that's
hunting. It was classic Ted Thompson, rest his
yep.
soul.
Yep.
Kind of, it was a, I guess, later kind of scrap heap type of deal, and it ended up obviously working out, I think, even beyond anyone's wild. I think people were excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
Woodson was a Pro Bowl level player for the Raiders for a while and went to free agency and sat there and sat there, and then the Packers swooped in. This is a little different. This is, we're basically paying market value for a top couple player, available free agents for the whole class.
Right.
And I don't know if I don't think it's happened probably since Reggie White. You're talking 30 years.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The other one that comes to mind is Julius Peppers. But again, that was, I still remember
Oh,
that
sure.
weirdly. I remember waking up on a Saturday morning and I looked at my phone and we had added Julius Peppers. And I was like, oh my God, like
Yeah.
Julius Peppers is coming to Green Bay. Like that's
But
wild.
even that, Julius Peppers though was like in his 30s.
Right.
I
He
mean,
was,
it was
yeah, it was his last.
you're getting Xavier McKinney is not even 25 yet, and he's been very productive really since day one in the
Yep.
NFL. And and it's not only that, but it's also like the biggest position of need.
Right.
So
And the pinheads would maybe point out he's had some injury things, but the injury things are he broke his foot, fine, not a ligament, whatever, you know.
broke his hand.
People are, and then, but do you know how he broke his hand?
ATV accident, yep.
You bet, in Mexico.
Which is almost
So,
even worse.
yeah, oh yeah. I mean, that's a shithead move. But you can't. You just as long as we keep him around on bye weeks, be all right. Doesn't get in too much trouble when he comes down to Milwaukee. We'll be fine. I mean, that can get Milwaukee can get you into some trouble. So you gotta be careful when you do. But no, I'm very excited for Xavier McKinney. Funny moment today too when he was like trying to change his number potentially, and he's like, "Oh, I thought about 15, but then realized Bart has that players F up sometimes." So I was like, "Yeah, I don't think that number is available for you, X-Man." But
Yeah,
yeah,
no, unfortunately not.
no. All right, we'll do. Let's do last two quick. The Packers are going to sign a middle linebacker. So they're not going to draft one. Well, they could draft one, but will they actually sign a middle linebacker? And I'm saying, are they going to fact or fiction?
I'm gonna say fiction. I think
Okay.
it's none of the available options really excite me. I don't see a reason to waste the resources. I mean, maybe Devin White, but I don't know.
But there's a
Is
reason
it
Devin White isn't signed yet, right? Like he's
right?
26, former top five pick. Like he if he was as good as the name, right? I think that he would be already on a team.
So
So
I think they're gonna I think they're gonna go draft.
I think I'm gonna disagree and say that they will fact and they'll get try to get Jerome Baker from the Dolphins, who played with Anthony Campanelli, the linebackers coach, who's now with Packers. But I worry that maybe he will not be all about Green Bay because he was visiting the Titans apparently today or tomorrow. And Titans are throwing around money like nobody's fucking business. And also like living in Nashville versus living in Green Bay, you have to remind people sometimes. I know they signed a couple guys, which is great. But every now and again, there are guys who are just like, I don't want to live in Green Bay. And I get it, but I don't know if every Packer fan does.
Yeah, which makes it even more wild that they got Xavier McKinney,
Right.
who is
24 year
playing in New
old.
York.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't even kind of put it all together, but I mean,
From Georgia.
I think it probably helps that his agent is also the Jordan Love's agent. So I would imagine there was a phone call probably made. And sure Jordan Love did some recruiting and just told him, like, hey, look, like Green Bay is a you can it's a quiet place. You can kinda just you will be no recognized, obviously, but you don't necessarily have the hustle and bustle and the distractions. And if you're just focused on football and winning a championship, like it's a great place to be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's right. It's Green Bay, Wisconsin. I mean, it's not very luxurious.
No,
And
no.
also don't people think that teams and players run the leagues. They don't. It's the networks and the agents.
Oh yeah,
So
absolutely. And so yeah, if
I
you
just
have
thought of
it.
that when you said Jordan Love's agent probably put in a phone call. You know, the agents are way more powerful, I think, than people realize.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see if, like, so Rosenhaus obviously was Aaron Jones' agent. It'll be interesting to see, will Rosenhaus kind of back his guys away from the Packers? I'm sure he has guys on the Packers right now, but like the free agents and guys who need new money, like, you know, how will that change everything? Now, maybe it's just one deal, but you know, there are baseball teams who don't really fuck with Scott Boras. I think the Atlanta Braves have kind of said that, and they're like, yeah, we don't really want to deal with them. And they're like, we're good. We're cool. And that's part of the reason why Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell, even though we are what, there's going to be actual baseball games in Korea in a week, they are still unsigned, which is fucking crazy.
Right. I mean, that's wild. And even in the NBA, I mean, back in the Jason Kidd days,
Oh, yeah, David Polk.
the Bucks
Oh,
had
yeah. No,
like
no, no. What's the guy's name?
Jeff Schwartz, I think.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
the Bucks had like, I don't know, 10 guys on their roster had all the same agent. So, you know, just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and that David, I can't pronounce his last name. Agent David, we'll just call him. For that's Love's agent. He's getting a lot of money for his guys, so it just makes you think he's gonna bend over the Packers. But that's no, that's something we can worry about this summer because Jordan Love's contract won't be. Can't do it until I think May or June. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. All right, last thing. Keyshawn Nixon's contract makes sense. I'm gonna say fiction.
Yeah, it's fiction.
I didn't get it. I haven't seen the like nitty gritty of it because all these contracts are fake usually. But I don't think they see him as just a kick returner. There's no way. Like, they obviously think that even though he was ass last year at slot corner, and I was begging for anybody but him to be the slot corner, they seem to believe that they can fix that. And whether that's just the way that, you know, anything like that, I don't know.
Yeah, well, sometimes I think sometimes GMs have their guy, right? They,
Yeah.
you know, he picked him up. I think they got him. He was on waivers, right? Or
Yep.
something. Was it?
Yep.
It was, but he was here all last season. It was the year before when they got him, right?
Right. Yeah.
And it could just be one of those things where Goody, you know, has sort of planted his flag, dug his heels in on. You know, I like this guy. You know, he's been at times effective, and you know, he's even had some, you know, he's played offense at, you
Right.
know, a
Yeah.
couple times this past season. I saw he had like 18 yards rushing or something last year. So, a versatile guy, no question. I guess that's, you know, and I certainly can use him in the return game. That's about, yeah, the extent of the positives that, you know, he's
Right.
not a true corner, just kind of I guess a weapon or something. I don't know
Right.
what like a nickel or
Yeah, he's a slot corner, but it's like I think that there were a lot of people that thought they were going to upgrade that position, whether that was Cooper DeJean, which kind of looks like a pipe dream at this point, or they would, you know, they would sign somebody, but they still could, right? They still could pick. They're still talented secondary guys, and you know, I've been banging the drum for Mikey Sanstro for probably since the college football playoff, the short Michigan corner, because I just think he's like an immediate impact player. And they still could draft that kind of guy, even with Keyshawn Nixon getting the money that he's getting. And obviously, Jeff Hafley gave part of it. You're right. I do think there's those guys, totally. Like every sport has that. But then I also think that maybe they talked to Hafley about it and he's like, yeah, I can figure this out. Like, I know what he's doing wrong. I know with the way he's positioned, the way that I do it, I think he's actually going to be more successful. And Brian's like, okay, I'll take that intel from Jeff. He's a good leader. He wants to be here. He's talked about how like Green Bay basically changed his career and how he loves wearing the G. And you can say that's all like I don't know, pomp and circumstance shit, but I do think that kind of matters. And we talk about leaders, right? Like, that's a guy who can certainly be a leader in the locker room, now that you don't have Aaron Jones.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but let's move on. We'll see what else the Packers do as the weeks go on, see if any more moves are made as we then enter into draft season. But moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks, as you mentioned at the open, the road trip was ass. It's really unfortunate. The Bucks, I kind of didn't put this all together until late last night that the Bucks have had two West Coast road trips basically in a month, essentially. Maybe a little more than that. Like two, it's been kind of crazy. And in both of those, one more win that easily could have happened. Portland for the one prior, and LA, the Lakers edition, this time around. If you just win those games, think we feel a lot differently. But the Bucks get blown out by the Kings. Their lack of speed was an issue, was addressed, in the postgame presser by Doc, and then in Eric Name's column, kind of recapping the Bucks Kings game. So it's obviously top of mind with a lot of people. I guess, are we worried that that's going to affect them come playoff time?
I mean, certainly a little, I mean, if they have to see Indiana in the first round, I mean, I would probably pick the Bucks in that series, but there would absolutely be times where it just can't keep up. Like, I mean, I knew Sacramento was gonna, I didn't, I guess I didn't think the Bucks would lose by 35 again, but I knew they were going to be trouble because Fox is a blur, and the Bucks just aren't that type of a unit, and they certainly seem to be unable to keep up offensively. I guess I don't know how to put that nicely. They're and also when they're bad, they're fucking awful, and I don't want to be a championship team's don't do this guy, but how many championship teams have gotten beat by 30 or more this many times? I mean, I don't, I really need to look if I, did this full time for a living, podcasting and talking about sports, I'd probably go down the schedule and Jesus Christ, they lost that game by 25, lost that game by 35, and lost that game by 50. And so, it's the defense relapse clearly on this road trip. And I have to cling for my sanity to the fact that it's just harder to play defense on the road than it is
Yeah,
at home. I mean,
I'll invite Positive Chuck into the room because that's kind of what we do here on this podcast. And I will just tell you that, like, I think the blowout variance and things like that, like, you're not going to find it because of the three pointer, right? Like, the teams don't get blown out like that because the three pointer is just such a thing that is more, you'd have to look at, like, I guess probably the last 5 to 10 years where three pointer be like, post Warriors would probably be the time. I mean, you're right. They do kind of wave the white flag more than most teams that I remember and ever since the Bud era. I mean, I think when Griff was here, we were banging the door that that was a real issue that we just, it kept happening. And we were like, can you at least try to come back? Can you at least try to make this a game? And I think that that is something that unfortunately, they have not worked out of their system. I think that I'm not a very big play the young guys because I think it's just this easy fail safe of like, oh, we should be playing Andre Jackson Jr. There's a reason like Andre Jackson Jr. is not playing. Okay. There's a reason Marjon Beauchamp is not playing. And, but that,
Well,
however,
Marjon
as
absolutely sucks.
well, right.
So,
But
yeah.
however, as Stephen A. Smith would say, like, those guys probably need to play against these fast-paced teams. You need to use your young guys to just give your older guys a breather to just say, all right, for 5 minutes, we're gonna have Andre Jackson Jr. get his three fouls in the first half. Fine. Just and tell him to like attack the basket. I saw someone, I forget who it was, but like Andre Jackson is a ferocious dunker. The dunk he had at the end of the game was fucking absurd. His head was above the rim. Like, he is a legit, like, game changer. Like, that's like an energy thing. Like, as much as like a guy comes off the bench and he hits a bunch of threes in the corner, like Andre Jackson Jr. putting Bam Adebayo on a poster in like the second quarter, like that can shift the energy, especially here at home. Like, the crowd would just be out of their mind. But so he just, I think it's like he needs to focus on that type of stuff and not just like looking the pass, and everything else. And I think that there just needs to be a little more of the youth movement against certain teams. Doesn't need to be every team, but against your Kings, your Pacers, be very curious to see them against the Thunder in a couple weeks here, because the Thunder, we talked about the finals opponents on last week's pod, and you were like, I'm worried about the Thunder's athleticism, and I kind of pushed back and said, well, they have no size. Like, but the Kings kind of don't have any size and didn't fucking matter. So that'll be a really good like barometer to be like, all right, have you fixed this? You play the Thunder, what, 2 Sundays from now? Like, that will be a great like heat check to see like, all right, did you fix this, or are you just gonna say we're not gonna worry about this because in the playoffs everything slows down and it'll be fine.
I think people get frustrated because Danilo Gallinari plays, and
Yeah, for sure.
those 8 minutes a game could probably go to somebody who's going to provide a little more energy and or actually make a shot and or be able to defend. So I think that's her. And then, Jay Crowder, we've kind of harped on his struggles, and I think everybody's kind of been brought around to it. So we'll see. I mean, I think Jay Crowder still has a role. I mean, it's not like he should be going, to the end of the bench, but if he's not going to shoot, and let alone make one, I mean, it's tough. And
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
he's just doing a lot of cardio. Like, he's just doing cardio. And I think Pat Bev tweeted that after the
Yeah, and he's
Lakers
not,
loss. Like, he's just getting cardio in. Like
and he's
that.
not some sort of like elite stay in front of you lockdown defender at this point that
Right.
it really justifies. But I mean,
Well, it'll be,
you're not
yeah.
gonna have a perfect team either, so.
I will say, your next 10 to 13 are at home. It's kind of why I didn't really trip about this, 1-3 road trip. Your 10, 13, or your next 10 of 13 are on the at home. And that's a time where you could invite a lot more role players to play, because as we've talked about in this podcast a lot, role players play better at home. And their confidence, it builds, in that
For
home
sure.
gym. And you're going to get some practice too here, not for tonight, because you have 1 day and now you have to play the Sixers, but you get the whole weekend off before you got to play the Suns. So, that has, in the Doc Rivers era, when the Bucks have a few days to prepare, they tend to come out with pretty good shit. And we'll see if they're able to do that when they
That
lock
is
up with the
a that is that
Suns.
is a noon game on Sunday, by the way.
It is. Yeah. I mean, look, if you're doing the St. Patrick's Day thing, that's a hell of a little added bonus to your St. Patrick's Day entertainment. Or if you're going, like, I don't know if the bars are doing, like, I don't think they're doing the 6 a.m. because the bars are open till 2 or 3. I don't think they can. I think I saw Jack's is opening at like 9 on Sunday. So you could do, if you do the early St. Patrick's Day, and then you have the Bucks game right there at noon, and also college basketball, who knows, maybe the Badgers make a run and you have the Big Ten tournament on after that, and then Selection Sunday. Like, yeah, it's a hell of a St. Patrick's Day if you can stay sober, kind of sober for it. Like, Godspeed.
I bet places are open at 6. I bet.
I don't know though. I just don't know how it works with a Sunday, right? Like, I think you're right, probably some, but I think they'd have to close. I think you have to close for 6 hours. Actually, I think that's the rule. So maybe like a Moe's Irish Pub here locally, in Tulsa, maybe they'll close at noon, midnight, and then they can be open at 6. I think that's the rules. I think you gotta be closed for 6 hours, but I'm not sure. We'll have to get our Tavern League experts on that.
Yeah, I mean they should have to close for 6 hours, or
Right.
I mean, that's like truck drivers. You have to, like, over the road truck drivers can't be on the road for more than 12 hours, and
Yeah.
they have to have like 8 hours off or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And so
So.
I think hopefully the Bucks get back to their winning ways tomorrow or tonight against Philly. Philly's not necessarily been playing well. They scored less than 80 points in the last two games against the Knicks and won one of them, shockingly. But they just got Maxey back, but they are a shell of what they've been. So that's one you just got to take care of business. And then we'll see with Phoenix. Hopefully Chris Middleton comes back. We thought maybe we'll get Middleton for Tuesday's game, and then he was ruled out. So hopefully we get Mids back for one of
And
these games here soon.
he's already out for the Philly game as
Oh,
well.
fuck.
So
Okay. Well, that's not great. That
why
is not.
would you play?
Why? Yeah, exactly. Why would you? All right. Great talk parody, Mitch.
Let's do it.
I don't know when I thought about this. I think I was walking the dog. And I was thinking, and I kind of don't know. Might have been I was thinking about college basketball, and I was thinking about how UConn has a chance to repeat this year, first really repeat champion since Florida, and they have a real chance. And then you add to the fact that the Denver Nuggets are one of the Vegas favorites to win the NBA title, and some would argue that the championship runs through Denver. And then you have the Chiefs, who just went back to back, first team to do that since the Patriots. So I started to wonder, like, is parity dead in sports? Like, are we actually at a like we were so like, oh, parity, 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 and now I look at it and I'm like, it's kind of the same teams. Like, even the one seeds in college basketball, you're gonna get Purdue, who was a one seed last year. You're gonna get Houston, who was a one seed last year, and you'll get two new ones in UConn and probably North Carolina or Tennessee. And but still, that's
Yeah.
it's just very interesting that that has suddenly flipped. And I'd love to know like your theory as to maybe why it is.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to kind
Or
of
if you
pick one
agree. I mean,
thing.
you could disagree with me too.
Well, I certainly agree. I think baseball has parity.
Yes, baseball should. And what's funny is baseball is probably the one sport that doesn't want parity, right? Like, they want the Dodgers and the Yankees and in every
Yeah,
fucking
that's
World
true.
Series. And
It is
they.
funny that there's no structure to, the salary or anything like that. And so the big market teams can, in theory, just spend, and have tons of talent. And then what have we seen the last few years in baseball? That none of that shit fucking matters. It's just,
No, right?
I mean, it's, I don't want to call the regular season meaningless, because that's not true. But at the same time, you just played, 7 months of games, all for, basically your best teams to just lose in a 3-game wild card round,
Right.
because the fucking Diamondbacks are a buzzsaw all of a sudden, and you just kind of gotta hope that it's your team's turn, I guess. But and really in the other leagues, and starting with the NFL, America's most popular sport, we can't get enough of it. We just eat, sleep, and breathe and drink it all in. And, somehow the NFL has convinced Joe Sixpack in whatever rural town that his team has a chance of winning a Super Bowl every single year. But let's go back the last 25 years. I mean, who's it been?
Yeah, it's
It's been New England. Who's won six or seven Super Bowl? Tom Brady, who's
right.
won seven Super Bowls in essentially a 15-year window, maybe 18 years, something
Yeah,
like
it was
that.
crazy. I mean, it
And
was just absurd.
now the torch has been passed to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, who are in the AFC Championship game in the Super Bowl every year. And yet, I just think it's a hoax. parody NFL. It pretty much is. I mean, the Packers are good every year. And it's no matter, basically, they couldn't try to be bad, probably. And then, but then there's conversely, there's other teams in the NFL that can't ever be good.
Yeah, I would say the Lions and Browns are kind of starting to buck that trend, but you always have people that replace them. Like I kind of think obviously the Panthers are kind of replacing them, and I think what the Titans are doing is like nonsense. And I just want like to me that feels like a team that's kind of heading to the drain more so than a team on the up and up, right? So I think that yeah, they do replace those teams, but you're right that it used to be okay, every year you'd have six new teams in the playoffs, and that's not happening anymore. You're seeing the same teams in the playoffs, and you can argue that's good for rivalries, that's good for continuity, but yeah, it's kind of it will be interesting to see because obviously, yeah, the Taylor Swift thing I think really helped the Chiefs and really helped the NFL and made that game a little less stale and brought in this brand new audience that didn't give a fuck about football. But what if it's the Chiefs and the Niners again? That rating is not going to beat the rating from this year. It won't. And at some point, the NFL will hit a saturation point. It's going to take 10 years, right? Like that was kind of, I was listening to something about, I think it was around like Caitlin Clark and just like women's basketball. And like it kind of has, it will take 10 years to really like settle in the WNBA once like all those players are through. Like it will, to hit that saturation point in the NFL, it'll take a while. But at some point, I really do believe that we're going to get there and that we're going to hit a point where people are just like, fuck this. Like, it's the same thing over and over again and gravitate towards other entities.
I
Maybe
don't
not.
know.
Maybe not. Maybe that's too idealistic. And with basketball,
I wouldn't worry about that. I would worry more about the fact that they're going to start playing on Friday,
oh
and
yeah, I
then
mean, go ahead.
it's never going to be an everyday thing, but they will eventually do Fridays.
Well, you saw what you probably didn't see this, but I saw this from a business newsletter I was reading about sports that Fox conveniently added a Friday Night Football slot to their time schedule. So Fox had SmackDown, WWE forever, and that was their Friday night programming. Now they conveniently picked up a Friday Night Football slot. So guess what? You're gonna have some really good games on Friday night on Fox because they are putting that over the network. The Big East tournament on Friday night. That game's on 4:30 at Fox instead of having two night games, which is the usual and breaking with tradition, because Fox wants the juice. They want to get that. And they are going to always look for opportunities to find those to, yeah, to just drain
Make
out
more
the
money.
user to make more money. Yes. And put it on streaming networks and all this other shit. And yeah, it hurts when the parity isn't there. So you don't know, yeah, it's every, you know, it's everything's the same. And if you get the Nuggets again in the postseason, I think the NBA community will calm themselves because it's Jokic and they'll, you know, have to, you know, watch it in a dark room with some lotion. But the common man doesn't give a fuck about Nikola Jokic. I'm sorry. He doesn't. It's not an exciting player, I don't think, but that's, you know, it's not Steph Curry. It doesn't have that impact. He's not. Even though he's generational to basketball fans' eyes, I don't think he's generational to a casual NBA fan. My dad did watch a Jokic game and was very impressed with him watching in Italy like last year. But I don't think that, you know, he's gonna be, I mean, he didn't make it a
Honestly,
must-see appointment.
I think the common man probably does like Jokic.
You think so?
I mean, yeah. Kind of
Because
an
of
old
just.
school type of player. I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah.
he's not flash and substance. It's just, go in, do the job, and let's go home. I mean,
Yeah, that's
I
true. I
don't really
mean,
particularly care for him, but I'm, as the
yeah,
honest
no.
guy, but And I, in fact, I'll guarantee the Nuggets will not be in the finals this
Oh,
year.
I like
So
that.
take that for data, put that in your
Yeah.
pipe and smoke it.
Well, right. And like if again, if the Nuggets, I think it's good for college basketball. I think it's good for the NBA. If UConn doesn't get to if they don't get to the final, I think UConn is a good brand for college basketball, but I also think it's
Oh,
good to have different teams, and it's good to have like that. I mean, the Big East makes a lot of money if UConn wins, that helps us from Marquette's perspective, although it's really hard to cheer for UConn, transparently.
I don't think that having what happened last year from the Final Four is particularly good for
Oh
the
yeah, that I
product.
agree. So that is interesting. Like that would be the argument of college basketball is like, okay, yes, just because you have all these teams as the one seed doesn't mean they're going to get there. You could have another crackpot Final Four, and no one's really, they're nice stories and it looks good on social media, but it's not necessarily going to bring people. It's not going to bring people into the casual fan into watching what's going on.
Right, if casual fans, if their brackets are completely busted,
Yeah.
like they've tuned out for sure by the second weekend.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, it's and yeah. And you, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to get flashy Final Fours this year with, if you're looking at those top four seeds, Purdue, North Carolina, Houston, UConn are all big deals. Baylor, not so much. Tennessee, yes. Arizona, yes. Marquette, yes. Iowa State, no. Kansas, yes. Creighton, probably not. Duke, for sure, of course. Alabama, yeah. Illinois, sure. Kentucky, and then Auburn, like that's your top 16. Just looking at one bracket, there's a lot of there that if you get some of those teams in the Final Four, it's going to be it's appointment television for a lot of people. But we'll see,
Yeah,
man.
for
It'll
sure.
be interesting. And
So
yeah, I,
real quick,
yeah.
what's happening in this? And so Kansas is essentially load managing the conference tournament.
Yeah, are you appalled by such a thing?
I am. I mean, that's just a disgrace.
It's a really interesting strategy by Bill Self because
That's
I have.
unheard of in college basketball. I mean,
Yeah, it's.
you're not allowed. You're not allowed. You get your ass out there and you play.
I mean, Hunter Dickinson hurt his shoulder in the game against Houston. Like, I think he might have
Right.
separated his shoulder.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
Kevin McCullough, their other star, has been battling an ankle injury, so he's resting him. And I mean, that might happen with Marquette and Tyler Golic. Tyler's not playing tonight. He's already been ruled out. I guess they have. I didn't know this, but I guess you have to announce it early so that basically it doesn't affect your seeding. So that's also true. Like apparently it's the Kenyon Martin rule when Cincinnati a few, long time ago, Cincinnati was, I think they might have been undefeated. They were really fucking good with Kenyon Martin.
Oh, yeah.
And Kenyon Martin tore his ACL, I believe, or broke his leg at the end of the year. And then they didn't punish him because they were like, yeah, no, we're this that, and that's been the standard. It's kind of the Kenyon Martin rule. Coincidentally enough, them playing Cincinnati. And yeah, so Kansas is doing that and it won't affect their seed. And it'll be interesting to see if it works and if they end up being successful in the tournament. And if they are, then yeah, that's it's a bad news for college basketball. And they're going to probably have to fix that because guess what? Not having Kansas advance in a Big 12 tournament in Kansas City is likely not good for business for the Big 12.
Right. You could call it the Florida State rule,
Oh yeah, that too, right? Florida
where
State.
you fucked Florida State because their quarterback got hurt. The
Yeah.
committee downgraded them.
Right. It was the
And,
anti-Kenyon Martin. Yeah.
right.
Yeah,
So.
and that wouldn't have happened with a 12-team playoff, but again, like that's. Yeah, which was yeah, we don't need to relitigate that. But yeah, it's very interesting. And yeah, I selfishly I've like went back and forth with the Golic thing. Like part of me is like fine that he's not playing and way okay with it. And if we can probably beat Villanova without Tyler Golic. Villanova is not very good. They are desperate. They need to win to survive the bubble. But at the same time, like if we lose, not a big deal. We get a week off before we play our next game. And then we play Creighton. Then the following day, I kind of want Tyler to look back because, like, fuck those guys. I fucking hate Creighton. I really do. I might hate Creighton more than I hate UConn.
Yeah, I
Just
figured.
a bunch of hayseeds. Like, Ryan Kalkbrenner, who's their center, just plays in an extreme drop. And he gets the three-time defensive player of the year. Get the fuck out of my face. He just plays in a defense that allows him to get a bunch of shot blocks. Like, okay, fine, great. So.
Damn, no wonder you hate Brook Lopez.
No, I had no. That's not an anti-Brook thing. I don't hate Brook Lopez. Shut up.
Why do you think Brook Lopez has been such a good defender? And
I know.
Same reason.
How much Creighton though have you watched? Have you watched a little bit of Creighton? I know
I
you don't
mean,
watch as much college basketball.
I like some of their players for sure.
Do you like Shireman?
I think he's a pretty good player. Yeah.
Ah, fuck you. That guy sucks. Yeah, he's a good player. He just drives me crazy.
I
He
believe
drives.
it.
I mean, yeah. But as Mark Titus said, this is the year of the cold ass white boy. Like,
he's also Van Wilder,
oh yeah,
guy. And I didn't realize his name was Baylor until
yeah,
like a year ago. I thought it
yeah.
was Bailey.
No.
So,
Yeah,
solid
yeah.
player. Trey Alexander's pretty good too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. Trey Alexander is probably the only one that I can actually put up with. But yeah, they piss me off. A lot of UConn pisses me off.
Who's
Danny.
I was gonna say, who's the piece of shit white kid on
Cam
you for the
Spencer.
Cam Spencer? Yeah.
Yeah. That kid can die in a fire. But like. Yeah, I have no time. And Danny Hurley's gonna get punched by somebody. I really like. Did you see him against Providence? Like telling like the fan to come fight him. Like I'm like, bro. Like I don't know, man. Like his wife like going off on how Providence fans are assholes. I'm like, Providence is a very heavily mob city. I don't know if you want to be like poking that bear too much. So.
We have some breaking news from friend of the pod,
Uh-oh.
Twigs, who just shared a tweet.
Yeah, what's up?
Devin Williams, two stress fractures in his back,
Oh,
is
fuck.
expected to miss 3 months.
Oh, God. All right. That's not good. Oh, boy. Well,
Should have
whew.
traded him.
Could have traded him. You're right. You could have.
Should have.
Wow.
That's what I said.
That's a really shitty way to start the baseball season. Man, oh
Stress
man.
fractures in your back. How?
Oh, man. How does that happen?
I
Do
read
they.
hand for obvious reasons. But yeah, I don't know. Don't
That,
cry.
that's. Oh, that has to hurt, dude. That's. Was who's the report from just to see if they had a follow up? Was it Hassan?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, here you go. So yeah, he said he pitched through back soreness in September and it returned earlier in the spring, should return mid-season. Visited Dr. Robert Watkins and diagnosed par fractures in both sides of Williams T12 vertebrae. He will be shut down for 6 weeks and rehab for another 6 weeks. Watkins expressed full confidence that he will make a full recovery. Okay, first guy to respond is that douchebag Natty Sports. Fuck that guy. So yeah, not a great start. Abner Ribe, welcome to the fucking show, man. I guess that's or Joel Piamas. I don't know. Lots to go over. I mean, the initial reaction is not great, Bob. My confidence in this Brewers team has drastically changed. Not having a reliable closer with a new manager who will now have to like second guess himself unless a guy appears, that's a recipe for honestly disaster. So we'll just see.
Yeah, not great. Yeah, I think the bullpen was, I don't know. I guess, you know, it would have been virtually the same in the back end, but now you're right that it's probably going to be Abner Uribe, and maybe not day one, but he's going to have to He's gonna have to be, you know, I feel like Uribe kind of slipped a little down. Like, you know, he wasn't. Did he pitch in the playoffs? Of course he
He,
did.
yeah, he did. Yeah,
Just trying to think how he did. I've drawn a
I
blank.
can't, yeah,
But
I can't remember. I mean,
well, I know Devin Williams gave up a piss rocket or two.
well, as
Who
pointed
didn't?
out, as I started to doom scroll my Twitter, he wouldn't have passed the physical if they would have traded, if they would have made a trade for him, he wouldn't have passed the physical. They would have uncovered this. They would have said, "Oh, his back's fucked. We're not going to do this trade with you."
Yeah, maybe that's why they didn't trade him.
So, yeah, but we shall see. Oh, the Pacers lost to the Bulls. You hate to fucking see it. Just hate to see
Yep.
that.
I watched the end of it while we were podcasting on my found League Pass login for the home
Yeah.
stretch here.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll wrap up. I may have some more talk on. I was gonna do Brewer stuff tomorrow, anyways. So I guess we'll expedite that and talk just Devin Williams, but we'll also talk about Marquette Villanova, Bucks Sixers. With basically Wisconsin versus Philly or Milwaukee versus Philly tomorrow. Didn't realize that. It's as long, but DePaul is beating Villanova currently. 22-point favorite Villanova down to DePaul. But we still got 60 minutes left. But that would be like a shocked world. You got to fire Kyle Neptune tomorrow type shit. That would happen. But yeah, we'll see. And we'll talk about both. And then we will do a bracket show on Sunday. Shay Ken and I, maybe Mitch, tease TBD. And that should be a lot of fun. We'll have the Tap the Keg Madness as always, which is already live on Yahoo, which you can find if you're still listening. But you're probably already turned this off. It's okay. It's time to go. All right, see you guys.
Peace.